Someday the clouds will open wide and we'll see Jesus. And all his children will meet him in the air. Oh, I am longing for that day. My heart is yearning to be with Jesus, for my home is over there. I'm all excited about coming home. Oh, when I get there, I'll never have to roam. There with the angels, we'll sing around our throne. Yes, I'm excited about coming.
Left this earth, he told his children, I'm going home, but I'll prepare for you a place. He said he'll come and take us home to live in glory. Oh, I am longing now to gaze upon his face.
I'm all excited about going home. Oh, when I get there, I'll there with the angels, we'll sing around God's throne. Yes, I'm excited about going home. Oh, I believe he's coming soon, let's all be ready. For that day cometh as a thief comes in the night. And if we're ready when he comes, we'll rise to meet him. With all the blood-washed saints in garments pure and white, I'm all excited about going home. Oh, when I get there, I'll never have to roam. There with the angels, we'll sing around God's throne. Yes, I'm excited about going home.
This morning, we are thankful that we can come to you, Lord, through the name of Jesus, the one that has redeemed us and saved us, Lord, from so great a death and paid the penalty for our sins. Oh, Lord, may we never cease praising you and continue to tell and spread the gospel, Lord, to this lost and dying world. We lift up Brother Mart here to you this morning. Lord, give him a calmness in his spirit and a peace in his heart, Father, and that he could be a faithful servant for you today, Lord, to share what you have laid on his heart. And open our ears, Father, that we could receive it. And, Lord, that we could go forth here changed. And we pray for the anointing of the Spirit upon this congregation this morning, Father, not just this one, but throughout this world where your children are gathered, Lord, that your Spirit would be present and it would bring forth conviction and that we could bear fruit for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Y'all. Yes, as I that song that we just sang, it says, I'm excited. Are we excited this morning of going home? I can testify that as we walk on this earth and this life and in this Christian walk, I can say, yes, I'm getting more and more excited every day. And we know that He's gonna return soon. And it says if we are ready to meet Him, can meet him in the air and go with him forevermore. So praise the Lord for that. Yes, as you're sitting there, you can continue on praying for me. I'm a little scattered here this morning. The song that we sang, it was a song about heaven. And I was going to preach a message on heaven today. But as I sit down and I started just meditating and I just couldn't. So I split the message, and the first part is not on heaven. It's actually on hell. And that's my title, Where Will You Spend Eternity? Heaven or Hell, it's your choice. And I just have a little message on that today. That's what's on my heart. And I know as we sing that song, or we heard that song about heaven, I'm excited. And I know that everyone wants to go there. Every one of us in here and that wants to go to heaven. And I know 7 years ago, it was between 6, 7, or 8 years. And I don't know where that was at for sure. There was somebody standing in this pulpit. And this place here was packed. And this walls were almost bulging out, the people. And there was 400 or 500 people in here at that time. And he come up here and he stood up here and he said, "Not every one of you in here today are probably going to endure. Many of you are gonna probably withdraw or are gonna slide back and are gonna end up living in sin." And I remember hearing him say that, and I thought, "Well, how can you say that? I mean, why would you want to say that?" So that's not faith. But today, what he said, as I pondered back yesterday, yes, there was some in here that probably aren't walking with the Lord anymore. And I'm not saying those that just left this church just to left here to go to another church. I'm not saying just you have to be here. But yes, as we ponder back 6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, there was people in here that were walking with the Lord and aren't walking with the Lord anymore. And that is sobering. So if you give me give me a little bit on the first half, I want to share a little bit on hell. And if you can hear my heart, as I share on hell, I'm going to share a little bit what hell is like, and who's going there, and what the people are doing that go there. And then as I split the second half here, I'm going to share a little on heaven and what we must do and what heaven is like. So if you just pray for me as I go through here. And I wrote, "It is your choice this morning, heaven or hell. Where you spend eternity is totally up to you. Because Jesus Christ, He came on this earth to die on the cross. He came here to die so we could live. He came to take away our sin. We could be free from sin. He became sin, it says, for us, who knew no sin." So today, if we continue on, and I know there's possibility, there's some in here today they're at the age of accountability, that never had made a choice where they're going to spend eternity. Or that maybe they're thinking of it. Maybe they're pondering on repenting, maybe someday. But I want to encourage you. Today is the day of salvation, it says in the Scriptures. If you're in here, sitting in here in sin, I beg with you, and I ask you, don't go home. Or if you go home, seek God. Because you're not guaranteed to live tomorrow. Death, life is short. And I was just pondering on yesterday as I texted Brother Steve and asked, "How's it going there in Haiti?" And he just texted back and said they had an interesting day. He said they were going up the mountain and they were up mile marker 15. And I think it's 22 miles or 21 miles up to the top. So they were just about up to the flat. Then they had like 5 or 6 miles on a nice flat land. And when they was up the 15th mile, and they seen some people rushing down the mountain, and they was carrying this one guy. And this guy was bleeding out of his arm. Him and his brother got in a fight, and the brother cut his main artery here in his arm. So they quick put him in a truck, and was going to take him down to RKA, to the hospital. And they got down 2 miles, and he died. He's in the back of the truck. And as I was pondering on that, this man is in eternity. And where? Only God knows. Unless he repented in the last few minutes of his life, very likely he's in hell. And I know that it's not easy to for me. It wasn't easy for me to preach a message here on hell, because we like to talk about heaven things, and I do too, heavenly things. But hell is real. And today, as we go out and minister and the word of God. I mean, you'll have people that oppose you all the time. God is a loving God. God is not going to throw anybody in hell. There's no hell. They said, "What's wrong with you guys?" But yes, as we read through the Scriptures, now I know we all know that in here. Hell is real. Hell, God said it. Jesus talked about it. The apostles, the disciples, all those talked about hell. So let's prepare for heaven. As I want to share here, heaven For hell was not designed for any one of us in here. Hell was not made for any one of us. Hell was designed for the devil and his angels. The devil rebelled in heaven. And the third of the angels, as Jesus kicked him out of heaven, the third of the angels went with him. And that's what hell was designed for, the devil and his angels. Not for any one of us in here today. But yes, as someone said last night, hell is being enlarged. It says, without measure. If I remember where that was at, Isaiah 5. Is that right? James, I think James was sharing a little bit of that last night to somebody. 5:14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself, and the mighty man shall be humbled. I'm sorry, wrong verse. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and the glory in her multitude. Think about that. Heaven is measured. Heaven is 1,500 furlongs. It says 1,500 miles square. And it says hell is being enlarged without measure. And why is that? Because people are choosing hell. They're choosing this life of self and entertainment and whatever it may be. For this, they're changing this world for heaven, for eternity, for heaven. And I just want to sing one more song here. If Brother Josh would lead that before I begin my message. Here, it's in a million years from now, where will you be? And I know I had some papers, I didn't make enough of them. And I tried to make some copies out here today, and I'm out of ink. So, who knows, if I don't have a paper, just go ahead and sing along.
Says one life to live on earth, and it's swiftly passing by. In my mind, yesterday as I was sitting down preparing for this, my mind went back 39 years ago, and it was in 78, I think it was 78 or 79. when I was 5 years old, so I was 78. I remember had a lot of snow, and my dad wanted to go visit his dad, which would be my grandpa. And so we couldn't get out on the road, so he grabbed my hand, and he said, let's go visit dad, which is my grandpa. And I can remember walking that time over there. We was a lot of snow, and we was walking across fences and across the ditches. And as I was remembering, my dad is, he's big. You know, I know he was pulling me. Sometimes he was carrying me over. And I thought, well, he's old. Dad is old. He was, as I did some math this morning, he was 40 years old. And as we went over and visit Grandpa, and I thought Grandpa was old. And I didn't figure the math on that because I don't know how old my grandpa was. I think he was around 65 or 66 years old. And here it is, 42 years elapsed, just like that. I mean, I was five, and it just seemed like a few years ago, and here I am. I'm 42. So, yes, 37 years elapsed. And it is swiftly passing by. And as you ponder and you think on that, my grandpa, you know, he was, that was 78, and that was many years, 30-some years ago already. Where is he at? He is in eternity somewhere. And it says, in a million years from now, we will be somewhere, either heaven or hell. It says, from this moment of our birth till the time has come to die, God has given us the choice to decide our destiny. In a million years, where will you be? And it is our choice. And then the chorus says, where will you be in a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing? While ages roll throughout eternity, I ask this question, where will you be? And the last verse says, in the Bible we are told, of a day that soon shall come, when the people of this earth shall be gathered around God's throne, and the books are opened wide for the world to see, will He say, well done? Where will you be? Will you hear those words, well done, my child, come in? Or will you hear those words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you? And that is a question to ponder, and it's a question that lays in our hands. Where we spend eternity is totally up to us. And many are choosing the life on this earth, the pleasures of this earth, lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And the other day, as we went, a few of us went to the Coliseum there Friday night. And I believe that there was like 8,000 or 9,000 people that walked through. And it was an older concert. So there was men and women coming in there in wheelchairs. And they was coming in there with canes. And some of them had to, basically, someone was dragging them in there. They couldn't even hardly walk. But you ask them these questions. Where will you be in a million years from now? Or where will you spend eternity? And they don't care. Many of them said they don't care. We're not worrying about that. Others, then we had majority of them said, oh, we're going to heaven. We know where we're at. Just leave us alone. There's deception. And Satan is doing a great job. So my heart is here today not to plant fear. And I'm not saying that any of us in here that aren't walking with God, other than maybe there's some that haven't made a choice to follow Him. But my heart is to encourage us that our choice, it's our choice. The ball is in our hands. It's what we do. You know, as the days of Noah, as Noah was building the ark, I think of that. And I don't know how many years it took Noah to build the ark. But as Noah was building the ark, there's people wandering around. And Noah was warning them. He said, come on, guys, you guys got to get in the boat. He said, there's a flood coming. You are going to die. He said, there's a time going to come where the water is going to start coming. And all of you that are not in the boat, you're going to die. You're going to drown. And I can just see Noah day after day warning these people, warning of them the wrath of God to come. And it says, as the days of Noah, so shall it be. And we see the same thing today. As we go out and we're warning people, they're just mocking. They mock Noah too. They mock Noah up till the day of when God closed the door. God, it says God Himself shut the door. And that is going to happen again. While we have breath, there's hope. While we have life, there's still opportunities. And that was back then as well. As long as the door was open, there was opportunities for anybody to get in the boat that desired to be saved from the flood. And we think, come on, guy, why one of you guys got in the boat? That was so dumb. And I know that Noah warned them day after day after day as he's building this boat, this ark, that there's a flood coming. But yet, there's so many people just... Then I know as the years went by, they probably kept on doubting. Oh, come on, there's no water going to come. Look at this. That might have been 5 years ago, 10 years ago that he told us. So they just started mocking. And that way the same today. People have been warned for thousands of years. And this book had been warned, been written thousands of years. And people have been reading it and they said, come on, nothing's going to happen. So as the days of Noah, so shall also be. And today we see the same warning still going about. And we know that and today the same warning is still going about, as I shared, that repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And unless you repent of your sins, you will go to hell. Same way those guys that did not enter into the ark, they drowned, they died. And many warnings are given throughout the scriptures, as in John 3, as Jesus told him there to, unless you be born again. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then in 5, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. Then, as we see in Acts, the disciples there, the apostles, they went and they warned the people of the wrath of God to come. So there was many, many warnings given throughout the time of the scriptures being written as well. And Paul here in Corinthians, he wrote here as well here in Corinthians 6. He said, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, or effeminate, nor abusers of mankind, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And as we read that, in the same verses here, it talks about the drunkards and adulterers and the fornicators and all that, and they're thieves. And in the same verse it says the covetous. And I feel that so often is overlooked in a Christian life or in the churches of God today. Covetous is somewhat overlooked. It says a coveting heart. If it's your neighbor's house, or if it's your money, more money, or whatever it may be, you fill in the blanks. He says that they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And what a price to pay for sin. People are willing to spend eternity in hell just for things of this earth that are temporal. 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50, 70 years. They are willing to spend eternity for this world. In Revelations, it talks a little bit about hell here. In Revelations 14, verses 6, it says, and I saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on this earth, and to every nation, to a kindred, and a tongue, and a people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the seas, and the fountains of the water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is falling, and the great city, because she made all nations drink of her wine, of the wrath of the fornication. And we see here for John, God showed John, he gave John a revelation of the things to come. And John was seeing this here. And he said, and the third angel came and followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark of his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torments, it says, ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep these commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, which they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And as we see here, the Word of God is true. And as I'm reading this, because many people are saying there's no hell. God would not throw anybody into a lake of fire for eternity. And the Word of God is true. And people were saying that I know where I'm going, and it's hell, where I don't need no cigarette, I don't need no lighters to light my cigarettes. And he said others say that I'm going with my friends there. We're going to have a blast. And I'll tell you what, that is deception from Satan. First of all, you won't desire a cigarette. You won't know your friends there. You'll be crying. I mean, there'll be crying for people to be left out of this place of torment. There's going to be no unbelievers in hell. Everyone in there is going to believe that there is a God, and what he has written is true. And it says to be cast into this bottomless pit, to be tormented forever and ever. You know, it says to be cast into this bottomless pit, and I think of that, the bottomless pit, where you fall, and you fall, and you fall in this dark hellhole. And that's not the worst thing. Being there without God, separated from God forever, would be hell itself, where you could never commune with God again, never talk with God, never ask for forgiveness, and never sing praises to Him. It's too late. But as I said, cast into this bottomless pit. You know, as construction workers, as we walk these scaffolds oftentimes on these job sites, and we put a scaffold on top of each other, and we're walking three stories up, and you step down a half or an inch and a half, and your heart almost comes out from you. Your heart almost stops, it seems like, because just an inch and a half, you went down further than you thought. But here we're cast into this bottomless pit that we'll never find the bottom, and we're always falling. And this is just because mankind aren't willing to repent. Not because they're not willing to surrender their life to Jesus Christ and allow them to make you a different person. And we write, how foolish. God expects us to be, God has created us for one purpose, and that is to glorify Him. And I'll get to that later in my second part. But as it says here in Matthew 5, it says, you are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of this earth, and the people or the humans that God who created, that this is the only purpose that God created this earth was for us. He created man, and he wanted man to worship Him. He wanted man to glorify Him. But it says, if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith should it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but it is to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. You are the light of this world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And we see here, and if we lose our salt, if we lose that light, if we walk away from God, He will cast us under the foot of man. And as I wrote here, heaven is for the repented, hell is for the unrepented. And God's words are true. Here in Thessalonians 2, Paul talks about He says, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And it says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. He said that they all be damned who would not believe the truth. And as I talked to the man the other day, a couple days ago, went up to him and I just started sharing with him, me and my wife, who was going from door to door. And he was like, well, he says, he's not interested in here, and he's not interested at this time, just he's fine. I said, well, do you believe in Jesus? And he said, well, he don't know. He used to, but he's not sure no more. I said, what if Jesus is for real? He said, well, I just gotta wait till that day to find out. I said, well, I said, my friend, I said, then it'll be too late. I said, if you find out that day that he is for real and you got sin in your life, I said, you know where you're going? He said, well, he said, probably hell, but I have to wait for the verdict of Jesus. I said, today you have life, and you have opportunity to make a choice. You can repent today and have that assurance and have the forgiveness of your sins and have your names written in the book of life. I said, why not choose that? He said, well, he don't know. He said, well, thanks anyway, but then he didn't want to hear no more. But we think that's foolish, you know. But yet today we have the same thing. People walking around with sin in their life, and they know it, but they keep saying, "Well, they will repent tomorrow. Just give me a little bit of time. I want to live my life here first, and I will. But that is a snare. That is a trap of Satan. That is a bondage of Satan, where he takes them and he'll entangle them in more and more sin, where they'll never. Seem like they those that live for tomorrow and say tomorrow or tomorrow or tomorrow, a lot of times Satan tangles them with more darkness and more sins, and all of a sudden at the age of 80, 90, they're dying and they can't get out of this web, and they say it's too late. But may that not be us. May we be the children of God. When something arises in our hearts, may we fall on our knees and not let pride just keep us going, but fall on our knees and ask God to give us forgiveness and just give us power. Because remember, the ball is in our hands. Jesus, as I can say that, Jesus came and did all that he had to do so that we could live. In Matthew 25, if you want to turn there, that's fine. I'm going to read a few verses here. As I was reading, why don't you turn to that? I'm going to read from 14. I might just read to the end there. Starting on 14, Matthew 25. So for the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he has given 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man accordingly to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded them with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 talent went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with him. And so that he had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest me into me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more talents. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sowed and gathering where thou hast not scattered. He says, And I was afraid, and I went and hid that talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not scattered. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming I shall have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto them which have 10 talents. Just a thought there before I go. We know, we all say in here, we know that we at least all have been given 1 talent. Many more than that, but we at least have 1. And that's what God expects us to do. Take that 1 talent that he has given us and to invest in his kingdom of God. And use it for him. Be spent for the kingdom. And he wants us to continue on. We know that in this Christian life, if we come to the point of standstill, I believe I see here as he wants us to take what he has given us and to continue investing. And I'm not saying that we do that for salvation, but as we find Jesus Christ and we get born again, he wants us to continue on growing in him and just loving him more and reaching out to the kingdom of God, reaching out to the lost, the dying that are around us. He wants us to continue on going forward. And I always say, if we come to a point and we level out and we don't continue going up, we are in dangerous ground. We need to continue on walking toward the kingdom daily. If we go days without pondering on God's word or reading his word, and pretty soon it'll be weeks and it could be months, and finally Satan will snatch the seed completely. He has given us at least 1 talent. Many of us 3. So he said that he as this man did not invest in that talent, he said he took him and he cast him into the outer darkness. And cast ye into outer unprofitable servant to outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when the Son of Man shall come to his glory and the holy angels with him, and shall he sit upon the throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them from one another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he sat upon the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you in the foundations of this world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty, or give thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and come to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you curse, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So he will cast the unrighteous, the wicked, into everlasting fire that burneth with brimstone and sulfur forever and ever. So I wrote here, so who is going to hell? Who are those who are going to be in hell? It is those that did not believe in Jesus Christ, did not do the will of the Father. Never repented, the unrepented. The self-righteous, as it says in Romans, it says, For I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to my knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And those that have the self-righteous, and those that have never submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. Hell is going to be full of people of that. So as you see, many that have their own righteousness, what they want to do the things in their own terms. Jesus says, Depart from me, you works of iniquity. I never knew you. Hell will be full of good people that did many good things. Hell will be full of many that wanted to repent but never did. Hell will be full of many that had good intentions. Many will be there in hell that sat in church services every Sunday. Or you fill in the blanks. We know who's going to be in heaven. Only that those that have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And the world and this world is making the third way. And Jesus says, that no man come to the Father except through me. It says the coming apostasy there. In Timothy it says, and this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, in contentment, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. So when I wrote those that are sitting in church services every Sunday throughout this world, we know that the church is just a gathering. It's a social gathering more than just gathering together to worship God and to come when you need to, yes, to find repentance. And as Christians, we make mistakes, and we need to continue on, falling on our knees and seeking God. But we don't have to go to hell. God has made a way to escape it, as it says in Corinthians. There has no temptation taken, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. As I said, heaven or hell, it's your choice. But if you're living in sin, I said, it's a bad choice. Because being separated from God forever, can't imagine being separated from God eternity. Second of all, hell is a hot place. Why would people desire to go to hell? When I had people say, no, I'd rather go to hell with my friends than go to that boring place. It's a place of torment, pain, suffering, and etc. And it's up to you where you spend eternity. If you end up in hell, it is because you fully chose to go there. Because God's heart is that we all be reconciled to the Father. We all someday can be gathered around the throne of God and worship Him. As I was thinking, sitting around the throne of God, I'll get to that, some of that here real soon here. I'm about done with this. Sitting around the throne of God, singing praises to God, where there's no more sickness, no more death, no more troubles, and no more sorrows. Why not choose that place? So if we're in here today and have not made a choice to follow after God, let's do it. And I want to start my second part here. Heaven is for the saved. And it's a beautiful place for those that believe on Jesus Christ and do the will of the Father. As I said before, God did not have hell intended for you. None of us. But it was for the devils and his angels that he kicked out. As we read here, Jesus said that I'm going to kick you out with the devil and his angels. And God has a perfect place for us as children of God. And that's where I want to spend eternity, in heaven with Jesus. With God and his holy angels. As it says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek you first the kingdom of God. That's the first thing that we should do in life. Seek after God. First thing in the morning, seek after God. And he says, I'll take care of all these other things. And I have to confess, at times you wake up, first thing that pops to your mind is the job that you have scheduled for today. And if that, now I know that's not talking about that, but I'm just saying each morning, may that be the first thing on our hearts as we wake up, that God would come first. God, how can I glorify you today, Lord? How can I worship you today? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? So for the kingdom of God, if we're going to, those that are going there, this is what expected from us. So let me read here a little bit in John. Why don't we turn to John 6, starting on 31. I got about 25 verses to read here. As he says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. And as it is written, ye give them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses give you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For that bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and he giveth life into the world. Then say they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall no longer hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe not, and that the Lord giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all that which he has given me I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on that last day. It's a beautiful verse. That is the will of God. That every one of us we could spend eternity with him. And the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, is it not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, which father and mother we know? How is it then he that saith, I came down from heaven? Then Jesus therefore answered and said unto him, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on that last day. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which of God he has seen of the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. And this is the bread which come down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am that living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, that I will give for the life of this world. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he hath eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which come down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Then when Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where it was before, it is the Spirit that quicketh, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are the Spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning that they that believe not, and who shall betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given to him of the Father. And we see here how many times he says that I am the bread of life. And Jesus says, all in John here says that no man come to the Father but by me. And I think he said it four or five times, I am that bread of life. You need to eat from this bread of life. And that is to trust in him and believe in him. He said, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Father and believeth, we can have everlasting life. The promises of God here are for everyone that desires to spend time in heaven. Here are the perfect opportunities today to eat of this bread, and that is Jesus Christ. He says here in 53 and 54, 55, 56, he says, Except you eat of this flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. Who eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. And another time he says, For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink. And it is gone to the cross. We have to continue. We have to go to the cross. And we have to fall on our knees to repent. Eat of that flesh and drink of that blood. It's gone to the cross through repentance. And or he says, you will not have life. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up on that last day. So may we continue on, go on to Jesus if we want life. Isn't that what we want? We want this everlasting life. I trust that we are hungering and thirsting after Jesus, meaning that we are longing to do the things that please Jesus and the Father. I trust that's our hearts today, that we are longing and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Because someday, if we continue on being faithful, he has great things for the children of God. It says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which give them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's a beautiful passage there. Where if we're in Christ Jesus, nobody can deceive us. Nobody will be able to destroy us. And as it says that, the last day, as he takes us into the kingdom of God, where we can spend eternity with him, sin will no longer roam there. And sin will no longer cannot enter in there, because sin was kicked out with the devil and his angels. And it's a place of it's a place where we all should desire more and more each day as we go on. It's a beautiful place. In John 14, Dan did read that this morning. He says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas says, well, how's that? How should we know the way? Then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. It is through Jesus Christ. It is taking the word of God and applying it. Eating that flesh, eating and drinking that blood is the only way to the kingdom of God. And if we only want to go to heaven just because we don't have to go to hell, and I don't believe that's the right concept. I know looking back, well, I can say that because I know years ago before I was born again, I wanted to go to heaven, but it was only because I was fearful of hell. Yes, I know that none of us wants to go. It's a place where none of us want to be. But today, as I think of heaven, I'm looking forward to spending time with God, sitting around the throne, and worshiping. That is my heart is longing more and more after for that day where we just sit around the throne of God for eternity, be there with family. Yes, I'm sure family are going to be there. I know we're going to know people there. It's going to be a beautiful time. And it's a place where no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, no more sin. Many things. When you think of heaven, if I may ask, when you think of heaven, what do you think of? May someone have a few words to say? You can raise your hand and share. When you think of heaven, what do you think of? You can take a moment for that. Brother Josh? Absence of evil. Amen. But you know, yes, absent from evil. In this place, in this world, there is no absence from evil. You go into the workplace, you go into work jobs, and wherever, there is evil. There is people that are cursing you, ungodly music daily. So let's not miss this place for this world, which is going to pass away and burn. You know, look at Judas. Judas sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. It's 30 pieces of silver. And that wasn't even much money. And we say, oh, how foolish. He gave up eternal life. He was one of the disciples that Jesus chose to help him walk through this life. And we say, Judas, that was stupid for 30 pieces. But let's look around us and just see how many people, what are people doing? What are they giving up for their soul? We see how many people are seeking the riches of this world, the pleasures, the entertainment, etc. And they're selling their souls as well after the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It is the thing that we can say is with Judas, wasn't this stupid, if I can say that. Let's not sell out for this world, which is going to burn. As I said, this we live to be 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. It is a very short time. As 38 years elapsed for me here, just it seemed like it just took a few years. And here we are. Here I have children married and I got grandchildren, and we start another generation that is going forth. In Matthew 6 says, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your heart is, for where your treasures is, there will your heart also be. Heaven is a beautiful place. Now I want to read a little bit here in Revelations. Talks a little bit about what the place is refers to. So let's start here in Revelations 21, starting on verse 1. It says, and again, God took John and showed him this beautiful place. John's, I feel, is the only person that ever seen this place. And as we notice, as John, he mentions what heaven is like, the streets and the gates and all that. said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. That's for us. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them the thirst, the fountain of the water of life, freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But then through all these verses here, there's 27 verses. In the middle of this, he stops. He's talking about heaven, but he stops in verse 8 and he says, but the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then he stops with verse 8 and goes on 9 and says, and there come unto me one of the seven angels, which has the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels. The names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and the west 3 gates. And it says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the city is large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Yeah, 12,000 furlongs. I think it's 1,500 miles square. The length and the breadth and the height of it was equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measures of the man, that is, the angel. And the building of the wall, it was as jasper, and the city was as pure gold, like unto the clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with the manner of the precious stones. The first foundation was as jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald. I can't say all these words. The fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. I don't know what all these stones look like at all, but the John says they're beautiful. It's a beautiful place. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. And every several gate was a one pearl, and the street of the city was as pure gold as it was transparent glass. Now the next verse is the most beautiful thing of as I describe of heaven. he described heaven as pure, clean, holy. But then in verse 22 he says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Here he's seen Jesus and God in the midst of this. And that is a beautiful thing of this place called heaven, where we can sit around the throne of God, be with him for eternity. And I saw, he said, I saw no temple therein, for the God, Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb's is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day and night. And there shall be no night thereof. And they shall bring the glory and honor of all the nations into it. And there shall no wise enter into anything that defileth. Nothing is going to defile this place. It's a beautiful thing. Sin cannot enter back into that place. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he goes on down a few more verses here in 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And here he goes again, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. In the midst of all this, the second time he mentioned it, God and Jesus, the Lamb, in the midst of it. And that is what makes heaven the most beautiful thing, being there in the midst of God and Jesus. And there shall be no more night there, and there no need of candle. Neither light or the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Today, it is your choice. If you want to spend eternity in this beautiful place, what John's seen here, what God has showed John, as it came down from heaven and John had a vision of this and he got to see it, however it was. Today is your choice where you spend eternity. God had created us with choice. He gave every one of us with choice where we will spend eternity. It's your choice that you're making today. The choices that you're making today, you are making eternal choices. Either if it's for evil or if it's of God. Them are the choices you're making for eternal choices, for eternity. And I trust that we are longing after God, as it says in Psalms 42. As the hart or the deer that panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I trust that we are. We're yearning for God in a deeper way than we ever did. This world, just in the last 20 years, we've seen the wickedness explode from this world. It's amazing. From divorce and remarriage and homosexual and just on and on. It's just exploding with evil. But this is a place where it says the evil will not enter in. There was nothing that would be gone there that defile anything. Our hearts should be yearning after Jesus Christ. All that he had done for us when he went to the cross and died so that we could live. And I wrote, if you're in here and you're not born again, I know your heart is not yearning for Christ to return. I know it's not. Because I've been there. I shared that before. I was just saying, Lord, just don't come back. Just wait till my heart is right with you. And someday I'm going to get right with you, God. When I grow up and get married, I thought that then all that things that I desired will pass away. But that's not true. I went from the age of 19, a little before 18 and a half when I got married, and it was the age of 28 or 29 before I fell on my knees and repented of my sins. But you can be. You need to go to the cross. You just need to go and repent of your sins and do the will of the Father. You can have your names written in the book of life. It's a beautiful thing to know, to wake up in the morning and have that peace with God. I remember waking up before I was born again, waking up and not having that true peace of God. It is misery. But we can have that peace, that there's a rest that we can enter in. Yes, we're still in a battle in this life, but there's a peace, there's a rest. And also, if you're in here and you are born again, been walking with God for many years, and if you're not yearning for Jesus to return, maybe it's because of sin in your life. And the same solution there is you need to repent. And I can say, and as a Christian, there is times that over the last 12 years I walked with God. There is times where sin crept in slowly. And I can tell you that I was not yearning for the Christ return at that time because I knew I had to deal with this sin. But my heart was just hardened from a situation. But I had to go to the cross. I had to go repent. Same thing. As in Titus, it says that we can be looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify into himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. few more verses here and I'm going to close. Corinthians 2. Must have wrote down the wrong reference. Oh, one. I can find it. Yeah, here it is. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Then it says in 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Says that God has revealed, and I know that as a child of God in here, we got a glimpse of heaven over the years, and it is through the Spirit of God that revealed to us. And just the last few last words, that heaven will be a place, will be a beautiful place to spend eternity, with no more sorrow, no more death, no more sickness, no more heartaches, no more tears, and etc., what I just read, many different things it read. And let's make sure, as it says in Peter, to make our calling and election sure. It says, if we do, we should never fall. So I just trust that you were encouraged today just to go through and just be reminded again that, yes, hell is not a place where we want to spend. And let's not let years of toiling and working and all that, not let Satan get an inside track of us and continue or start pulling us down and destroying us. And we're not turned away from God overnight. Satan works, it's a year after year after year where we see people that were on the foundation, we're walking with God. And it seems like all of a sudden in the next year you'll see a few traits maybe that something changing. Then the next year something different. It takes years and all of a sudden they're walking in this world. May God help us and may we have a burden. Just not for us, but for our families, our futures. I think of my grandchildren already. I got two grandchildren, and I know that a few years ago I was praying for my children, just praying for four of them, and all of a sudden my grandchild was born, and all of a sudden there I found myself praying for him. Another one was born, two more. Our responsibilities will never stop. May we continue on praying, interceding for the those that had not made a choice to follow him, or those that are refusing to accept him. Let's make sure our calling and election is sure, because there is a place that God has prepared for his angels, the saints of God, and that is a beautiful place. May God bless you, and just trust that you were blessed. If I said anything wrong today, I feel free to talk to me, and I'll accept that. God bless you.